Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hi, good afternoon and welcome to the Thistle Rugby Podcast, a brand new Scottish rugby podcast, and we think the only rugby podcast that cares about Scottish rugby. My name's David, I'm here with my good friends Alan.
Heyo.
And Matt.
Hi everyone, how are you doing? Very excited to be here.
Now we've just been down the pub watching Glasgow Munster and the Edinburgh Quins game in the European Champions Cup.
And the Challenge Cup.
Don't forget
the Mickey Mouse Cup.
The Mickey Mouse Cup. And that is, well, it was a bit of a mixed bag, really. So that's what we're going to be talking about chiefly today. And then obviously looking ahead to the Autumn Internationals in November. So starting off with the early kickoff, Glasgow Munster. A bit of a hiding for Glasgow, to be honest. Matt, what do you reckon?
Yeah, so on paper, I thought the Glasgow team's a lot better than the Munster one.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Munster
team's not that great. You maybe got Dupree and O'Mahony's not actually that good.
I don't know. Do you mean Standard?
Standard, yeah, obviously. That's yeah. Much over of it. Yeah, I thought apart from that, the backline's fine. Blaindell's coming into a bit of form. Conor Murray's a very good player. But apart from that, Zebo's quite good.
He's got a good haircut. He's got that new thing. He's just sort of like shaved in the line.
He is looking good, to be fair.
Supposedly, it's half the battle, really.
Supposedly, Zebo is like the stupidest man alive. Like, he's the simplest man alive, and he lives at home. And supposedly, Munster pay. He lives with his mum. Supposedly, Munster pay his wage. Honestly, an Irish guy I know have told me pay his wage into his mum's bank account because he cannot be trusted to spend the money wisely.
Really?
Same happened with Phil Goldman.
Goldman classic.
World class Phil had a massive gambling problem and Robbie paid it directly to like his wife or something.
When you spend $1,000 a week at Fingers Piano Bar.
Well, to be fair to Simon Zebo, he had a hell of a pretty good game today. He looked fired up. Obviously, the tragic death of Anthony Foley was really in the hearts of the whole, certainly the Munster pack, who absolutely hammered Glasgow for 18 minutes. Really, I mean, even when they went down to 14 men when Keith Earls did that stupid tackle on Fraser Brown. I mean, they scored 4 tries after a red card? How many times has that happened?
It was unbelievable. I think there's a culmination of, obviously, Munster were so pumped for the game, and they are a good side, obviously. And I think that Glasgow got a bit rabbit in the headlights, you know, after the first sort of 5 to 10 minutes when it was a problem with Barrage. And to concede 3 tries very quickly, it's hard to come back from that.
Do you think there's anything?
Yeah, disappointing.
Do you think there's anything with Glasgow getting beating Leicester so emphatically and almost kind of believing their own hype a little bit? they kind of like dominated Leicester Park coming to Munster. I know, obviously, there's all the stuff with Anthony Foley.
I've always wondered about a few players in that Glasgow squad who think they're a little bit more big time than they might be.
Yeah.
I think when I think about it, I think about Finn Russell is often quite hot and cold. I think Ryan Wilson can blow hot and cold.
Yeah.
Stuart Hogg in an awful lot of senses as well.
Yeah.
Like these guys who are the sort of big flash money names at Glasgow, I think they sometimes think they're a little bit bigger than they are.
Yeah.
But I think today, in particular, Finn Russell had an absolute shocker.
Yeah, he was,
which is a real shame, because he had an absolute belter against Leicester last week. He showed exactly what he can be. But some of his kicking today was absolutely dreadful.
Do you think we should just write it off? You know, not write it off, but just put it down to the occasion and the fact that, you know, Munster sort of, in a way, were destined to win that game. And you sort of think, you're not going to get an environment around Munster like that again, like, hopefully not in the Champions Cup or in the Pro 12. And the Glasgow are still a very good team. You know, they did still put 42 points on Leicester. And any other day, they probably would have beaten Munster. Or do we think that actually it exposed quite a few weaknesses?
I don't know. I think when you look, I think up front, Glasgow were just bullied.
Yeah.
The only Glasgow player that stepped up really was probably Johnny Gray.
He was excellent. He was very good.
He did have an excellent game.
Yeah.
And every other single forward wasn't able to deal with Munster's pack.
Yeah.
And this is the problem. There is a few players in that Glasgow pack which you do worry about. Tim Swinson had an absolute belter last week.
Yeah.
But he does seem, he is lightweight.
He's
like
lightweight.
For an international second row.
Yeah.
He's very, very small.
Yeah.
And he just seemed to get absolutely overpowered today.
This is the thing is, I think there is quite a lot of players at Glasgow that are good club players, but when it comes to the European rugby and then when it steps up to the internationals, they just don't cut it. And Swinson, Wilson, Harley, all those players all fit that bill.
That Johnson guy, who in the Pro 12 was a very manful, decent, skillful. He was skillful today, but you know, he's not exactly going to make a break or, you know, frighten the opposition.
Yeah.
What do we think about Henry Purgos? There's a lot of debate around and amongst the three of us, at least, about how good is Greg Laidlaw good enough to play international rugby. But if he's not, and if he's too slow, as we've suggested that he might be, is Henry Purgos good enough to come in and take that role?
I don't think Henry Purgos is an international scrum half, but Greg Laidlaw isn't a professional scrum half.
What do you mean? I mean, he literally is. So.
If Laidlaw,
I mean, that's the thing. That is literally his job. He is a professional scrum half.
He literally is a professional.
If Laidlaw could not kick, he would be playing for Gala.
Gala are actually okay. I think we're in Stu Mel at the moment.
He'd be playing Stu Mel.
He'd be in a relegation dogfight against Howe 5 today, that's for sure. I don't know, I think that he is a very good goalkeeper, but he's also, I think, he's a natural rugby player. And I think that particularly...
Who? Laidlaw?
Laidlaw, sorry.
No.
In what respect?
I remember against Australia, that fateful semi-final, and against... when he gets a bit of front foot ball, which is maybe the problem with Scotland, doesn't get it very often, but when he does, I think he's really, really good at bringing runners into the game. Think about the try that Bennett scored against England at Twickenham the last time they played. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And like Johnny Gray boshed up, everyone punching holes, and that was all because he was getting quick ball, Laidlaw's picking it off the base and he's giving good little passes.
So we're saying that Laidlaw is an international scrum half because he can pick the ball up and pass it to forwards quickly.
Is that how we define international scrum halves?
Well, you've got, so he's a world class goal kicker.
Yes, I'm completely discounting the goal kicking.
I'm just saying his quality, world class goal kicker.
Yes,
he's world class in the 22.
His pass when you're on the front foot is good. It's not amazing, but it's good. And he's a very good box kicker. And he, like, you know, makes his tackles.
I think for Scotland,
I don't really understand why. Those are the qualities I'd look for in scrum half.
He's very different to the sort of Scotland scrum halves that we've had and enjoyed when we've been growing up, in that they're very much the sniping nature of Mike Blair and Chris Cusseter, who are very sort of quick around the base. Laidlaw offers something completely different.
Yeah, if you compare him to, like, Mike Blair,
yeah,
who was just an incredible, like, natural rugby player.
Yeah.
I just read the game so well.
The Blade.
I just feel like, in all respects, apart from goal kicking, Mike Blair is just such a superior player. And whilst I don't think there is a player of Mike Blair's standard in Scottish rugby at the moment at scrum half, I just think if Scotland as a team want to progress, and we've decided that Finn Russell is the 10 that we're going to basically, he's basically the man for the job for the next 4 years, Laidlaw is just not the scrum half for Scotland.
Okay. Well, yeah, I think definitely in the long term, when you think about someone else, and I mean, Paragos is definitely the number two. So, I mean, who else do you have, really? You got Ali Price coming through.
Sam Hidalgo-Klein was always the big.
He's gone completely off the ball, hasn't he?
Yeah, I know, he has.
I've heard the rumours that he just, I think he's quite an arrogant guy in general. And I think it's supposed to be playing for Scotland.
Are you afraid of insulting him? You're whispering.
Sorry?
No, you're whispering.
I was just trying to be sort of sincere in my
oh, really?
Voice, kind of somber tone. And I've heard that getting a Scotland cap, which was deserved, has gone to his head, and I think he's stopped working a bit. And I'm sorry, he at his best is a far superior player to Sean Kennedy, who's average, and Nathan Fowles, who I don't understand ever signed him.
We will come on to the many flaws of Edinburgh rugby later on, surely. But before we move on from Glasgow, Gregor Townsend started this year sort of saying we need to make a name for ourselves in Europe if we're really going to be considered as a good rugby team. Mm. Do you think they've got what it takes? Having seen these two games, which have been really up and down, do you think they've got what it takes in Europe?
No.
In a word?
No.
So, to expand my initial answer, as I said, Glasgow will destroy Dragons on a Friday night, will beat most Pro 12 teams week in, week out. But when it comes to the high-intensity games, Munster away, Saracens, Clermont, Toulon, they just don't have enough quality. I really like Glasgow, but they just don't have that step up. And they've got too thin a squad. Their bench isn't going to be bringing you that much. Mm. And I think that next step up, they just currently don't have it.
Do you think it's... I mean, obviously there's been a lot of talk about the financial firepower of top 14 in the Premiership, and that's the simple cause. I mean, if you look at the players that Glasgow signed this summer, you know, no one was... Sarto has been pretty good, but he's not exactly a blockbuster.
Yeah.
And one, as you say, it'll be good in the Pro 12. They bought sort of the Namibian international in the second row. He's fine. He's not, you know...
Yeah.
As you say, he's not going to come onto the pitch and win you a Champions Cup game. But I wonder if that's just a reflection of the fact that Glasgow cannot afford to buy these players, and they're like, well, we have to buy as best players as we can, but
no, definitely.
That's it.
And the thing is, as well, is they're owned by the SRU.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
For the time being. That's something we'll cover in later weeks.
And at the end of the day, if they need, they can't be spending 500 grand a year on Nakawara.
True.
Nakawara is a great, great player.
Yeah.
But paying 500 grand a year for Nakawara means that probably 8 young Scottish players don't have a professional contract.
And this is an interesting one, is because off the back of Glasgow re-signing Stuart Hogg for, we don't really know how much, but let's assume quite a bit.
There has been
rumours that Johnny Gray is commanding sort of fees up to 300,000 in France.
Was it Toulon?
Yeah, Toulon, yeah, I think. Yeah. This week it was leaked. How much truth there is in it, who knows? But I mean, can they hold on to them? And more than that, should they be holding on to them? Should the SRU be putting their hands in their pockets and paying this money? Or should it be going into the grassroots game or picking up sort of better value players? I don't really know.
I think it depends. I think if you have a surplus of players in a single position, then we only have two pro teams. You either recycle them between Glasgow and Edinburgh, or you send them down south, you send them to France. I think that can often be a really good solution, particularly for younger guys who need game time. But I think if you're Glasgow, and you know, they've done very well to get Hogg, but you want to be, as we're talking about, competing in Europe, you have to keep these guys, the Greys, the Hogs, the Seymours. I think you have to. And yeah, if the club still is owned by the SRU, then I feel like they should be investing in these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of like the two arguments: is do you keep your Hogs And do you keep your Johnny Greys to make sure that you're competing at the highest level so that your young players who are coming in get to play in like a constantly winning team, playing at like that level intensity?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or do you go with the mindset that, well, actually, you know, Stuart Hogg doesn't really matter if he plays for Racing Metro or plays for Glasgow, he's going to be playing for Scotland. Does it make sense to move him out of the system and then use Glasgow and Edinburgh as a vehicle to get young players playing professional rugby? I don't think that's the right option, but I think
I see your argument.
There is an argument to say that if the ultimate aim of Glasgow and Edinburgh is to make Scotland the best team they can be,
yeah,
I feel like you could say Hogg's done a great job, but he's commanding $500,000.
Yeah.
But then the converse of that is that you keep all your best players at Glasgow, or remember they talk about Edinburgh because they're terrible. But
yeah, keep all those great players at Edinburgh.
Yeah, just keep sending them across to them.
The Toulouse Bros. Take my eyes before you take the Toulouse Bros away from Edinburgh, please.
I heard Toulon were putting a real big Toulouse last week.
But then you have a Glasgow team that is challenging because it has its best players.
Yeah.
And you've got young guys coming into that who are, you know, used to winning or coming into a bloody good team.
Yeah. And Glasgow's the best example of that. Is the last 3-4 years they've been winning games, and so many young players going into that team have come in and have maybe taken a few games, like Xander Ferguson.
Yeah.
And
Ferguson.
Xander Ferguson.
Well, we had a hell of a tough day today.
Yeah. Feasting.
Well, not as bad as Gordy Reid.
When
was he on?
30 minutes.
Spooked after 30 minutes.
See you later.
So people have come into that team, and you look at like Mark Bennett, and even like Finn Russell, to a point, to be honest, have come in to a winning team, and they've just, their progression has been so much quicker than like Sam Haddad-Klein, who's come into essentially quite a failing professional club.
He got moved around a lot by, he was like a scrum half, he was a stander off, he was a fullback across the Prem 1 teams as well. So yeah, it's a tough one.
He does have Spud outside of him now, which could be the real difference.
Who's Spud?
Is Duncan Weir not called Spud?
He's the pudding.
Spud.
He's just like a little, he's shaped like a little sort of like Christmas pudding. He's just like incredibly round.
Yeah, that's it.
But he's injured now, isn't he?
He's broken his jaw.
Is he?
What a massive, climbing on too many cars in Glasgow's West End.
What a massive loss. But now, since we've kind of brought ourselves round to it, should we talk about Edinburgh versus Harlequins, which was, to be fair, a hell of a game. 30 points each.
36-35.
Lots of tries.
Watch that.
Free-flowing rugby in front of an absolutely empty Murray Field. But are we seeing the green shoots of an Edinburgh sort of revival under Duncan Hodge, sort of released from the incredibly boring boot of Alan Solomons and his ridiculous sort of policy of bringing in these second-rate South African players who were playing in the Curry Cup and really not making an impact at that level and coming over and playing Pro 12? And there's some good youth in the Edinburgh side. Do we think that we've only seen two games so far, but what do we think about Edinburgh in the future?
I think that there's a lot of things to sort out, but you've got some good young players coming through. You've got the likes of Watson, sort of 25-26, but he's really coming on to a good game. He's been good for a few seasons now. Bradbury's a really good player. Kinghorn seems to have settled into
Kinghorn's
15, which is a pretty sort of difficult position to play, I think. And I think he's actually traditionally been a 10, so there's maybe a chance to scope to move him there.
How old's Bert Kinghorn? He's like very young, isn't he?
Yeah, 19-20.
I mean,
I think he's got another season in the under-20s, but he was, I mean, his try today when he took Nick Evans, who's quite old now, on the other side, was great. So yeah, I think they've got some good young players, good established internationals, you know, like a Scotland front row that was very good in the World Cup. You've got sort of likes of David Hoyland coming through as well, so I think it's looking quite promising. I always thought the problem was with the coaching rather than the actual players and the recruitment side of things, as you mentioned. Like,
I think
Solomon's just hired so many second rate players that stop young players coming through and stop good players coming through.
I think as a pack, they've got a top four Pro 12 pack.
Sure.
Dickinson, Ford, McAnally, Nell, Sutherland.
Yeah.
That's like...
Gilchrist is good at the Pro 12 level.
Gilchrist is very good at Pro 12 level. Tulis... It's fine.
He's stealing a job from somebody else.
Where's, he plays every game.
Where's Fraser McKenzie?
He was on the bench today.
He came on, he switched on for Gilchrist.
But remember, he had a few good seasons at Edinburgh, then he went to Sale. And it,
yeah.
Did he get capped?
He's definitely had a cap.
And he seemed to sort of be, you know, a really good prospect, but he's sort of gone off the boil a bit.
And then, you're right, back row wise, you've got John Hardy, Hamish Watson... Then you've got Jamie Ritchie, who's 20, Magnus Bradbury's 21, both really, really good young players.
Yeah.
Manu, who will do a good job,
player.
And he'll absolutely
dominate. He's won a Super 15 title. Like,
yeah.
You know.
That pack.
And Cornell Dupree.
Cornell Dupree
gets in the Pro 12 Dream Team.
And will 100% be starting for Scotland.
Exactly. He's a proper Scot as well. You know, his apprenticeship at White Craigs, wasn't it?
Was it White Craigs?
It was White Craigs, and WPNL was at Marr, and he was at White Craigs.
Two West Coast boys.
Yeah. It's good to see them.
Breathe them well over there.
They breathe them well on the West Coast, and they come into the pro side.
It's just great to see a homeboy done good.
Exactly. Oh, you know,
love it.
Rags the richest story.
You love to see it. You love to see it at an international level.
But yeah, I think 9-13 is just
So average.
It's so poor and devoid of just excitement. I know we say Tove is okay.
He's just relative. He's been improving.
He's fine. As I say, he'll beat the Dragons on a Friday night.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's all he's doing for you.
But he's not a Johnny Sexton. He's not a Finn Russell.
Not at all.
He's Vanarama Conference compared to them. Like, he is low down.
Yeah, 100%.
I also think that, I mean, this is sort of an off the field thing, but it's brilliant that move to Morayside. I think that'll make an absolutely massive difference. It could have been literally anywhere but Morayside. It'd be a huge, huge difference.
I think the plans from Morayside are, they look pretty good. If you get 5,000 people in there, that will be an absolutely great atmosphere. And I think that was the starting point of Glasgow when they started.
Yeah.
When they stopped flitting around and were playing at Fir Hill. Absolutely dreadful stadium where Park and Thistle played.
Mm-hmm.
And then they set up and they committed to Scotland. They've built their own little fan base and they've built their facilities around a home. And people like going down to Scotland. They've now got 100%. A plastic pitch. And it's a worthwhile venue. And you feel like
we've been through a couple of times. Get the train. I mean, you'd rather go to a Heineken Cup or Champions Cup game than you would go and see Edinburgh. You'd rather get the train through.
100%.
And I think this has been a sort of a big talking point. And nobody wants to go to Murrayfield to watch Edinburgh. Nobody wants to be part of the sort of 2,000 people in a 65,000 stadium.
The thought of paying
on a
£20 to see Edinburgh play Zebra.
On a Friday night in December
is one of the worst things I could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
Whereas even if it's Glasgow v Zebra, it's going to be quite a good atmosphere. Glasgow probably can play quite good rugby, because even though it's December, they're on a plastic pitch.
They'll chuck it around.
Yeah. Whereas just when it's getting boggy at Murrayfield in the winter, there's just nothing worse.
One thing I think is an absolute disgrace that the Edinburgh Stadium has not been granted to Inverleith.
I think we can all agree that Watsonians are the finest Prem Run 1 club in Scotland at the moment, and
they bought their way to Prem 1 and they're going to go straight back down and all the players are going to leave.
That's fine.
I think it'll be, obviously used to go there when we were younger and when they used to play games there, and it was good. It's just it's completely different. You've got a decent atmosphere. It's a bit of a intimidating, it's like, I think it could be a bit like Connacht Sports Ground, where you go and you're like, we don't really want to play here because it's not salubrious surroundings. And you create an atmosphere where Edinburgh are a horrible team. You don't want to go and play on Friday night.
I mean, Morayside is not a big place. I think, and if you build up the stands like they're going to, the fans are going to feel like they're right on the pitch, and the players are going to get affected by that. People are not going to want to go there, I don't think, on a sort of rainy Friday night, which there are plenty of. To go around, like, I think it will be quite an intimidating atmosphere, and if Edinburgh can fill it out, I think it's a great move.
I also think, actually, it's hurt the Scottish national team playing Edinburgh playing at Murrayfield because Welsh and Irish players and the Italian players in particular just get used to it. It's not got that like fear factor. They, just being used to the surrounding thing is true. Like a slight little edge.
Well,
really
we claiming that Murrayfield's got a fear factor. We claiming Murrayfield would have a fear factor if Edinburgh didn't play there.
Quite possibly.
It's got the most devoid of atmosphere of any international stadium.
I don't think it's any great. It's a real shame.
There's no worse chant in the world than the Scottish sort of rugby sort of Scotland, like sort of foghorn that you get, and only sort of a third of the people are into it, and it's really really awful.
Yeah. But going back to the original question, I think that if they get a good coach, why don't they do the same as Glasgow? Why don't they go out for someone like Dave Rennie? Clearly, if
well, what do you think of Duncan Hodge? Do you think he can step up?
No. I think he's
Calcutta Cup legend Duncan Hodge.
He is Calcutta Cup legend. I'll never take that away from him. But we've almost been good in these three games against probably one good team. Scored a lot of tries under him, but I think he could be a good coach, but I still think he's got to serve his apprenticeship. And why not get someone like, I can't think at the moment, someone like Dave Hewitt from New Zealand, or even Chris Boyd from Hurricanes. Like, why not?
Why would they come?
But New Zealand do this though.
You've done pretty well at the Hurricanes. Yeah. What are your thoughts on coming
Listen, you've just won the Pro 12. Sorry, not the Pro 12. You just won Super Rugby. Why not come and cut your teeth at Myerside in the Pro 12?
This is the whole thing with New Zealand Rugby Union, that they pick their coaches that they want to take to the top, and they basically say to them, you should go and coach the Northern Hemisphere. I mean, why is Dave Rennie going to Glasgow? Everyone's like, what the hell are you doing? You coach the Chiefs and you have to go to Glasgow.
Yeah.
Todd Blackadder doing the same at Bath. Like, he doesn't want to stay at Bath forever. He wants to come back and coach.
He wants to come back and coach Edinburgh.
He doesn't want to come back and coach Edinburgh.
He wants to come back to Edinburgh.
He's a Glasgow legend. But
I think someone's like,
break the bank. Get someone in. Awesome.
I think the point with that, though, is there is just so many good coaches in New Zealand, just like players, they can just afford to let these people go. Like, Todd Blackadder, Joe Smith, Gatland, like Vern Cotter, Dave Rennie, like, it still doesn't mean anything really.
Changed the standard of New Zealand rugby with that, has it?
But I do think that with some of those guys that you just mentioned, there is actually a plan from New Zealand Rugby Union to get them back.
I think Joe Schmidt and Gavin, maybe, yeah.
Todd Blackadder definitely has pretty much been told to go coach in the Northern Hemisphere.
But the reason that, though, is he's not going to be a New Zealand coach, and there's nowhere else to go after Crusaders.
He's also not done that well at Crusaders. He didn't win anything.
He never won a Super 15.
Inherited probably the best squad that New Zealand club rugby's ever seen.
He won all of ITMs, but
but I'm sure he'll do a good job at Bath, but marshalling Dent Wheezy. Dave Denton.
Let's not talk about David Denton.
We should know. You guys should know that Alan has got a bit of a history with Dent. We're not going to talk about him too much, even particularly if he's playing well. You know, we won't want to rub it in his face.
Thankfully, he always plays awful, so that won't be an issue.
He is my mate.
We introduced him in Oak Lounge. Matt met him
in a nightclub once, and
he's there every single night in world famous Opel Lodge.
That's true, actually.
Fair play to him.
It is true.
He was commentating today against the Quins. He will definitely be in Opel Lodge.
Oh, he'll definitely be out.
Yeah.
Definitely be out on the piss tonight.
Wearing some sweet gear.
Good leather jacket.
Really great jacket.
So, should we? So, Edinburgh, great result against Quins, to be fair. And we think Glasgow, probably a bit of a one off today against Munster. I think the Quinlan factor probably played. The foliage.
Shit.
Alan Quinlan died as well. It really is bad time for Munster.
Just in Edinburgh, though, shall we say their pack is good enough at the moment to compete?
Yeah, to compete, definitely.
To compete for the Pro 12, top four, their pack's good enough. Their back line needs a lot of work. Duncan Hodge got to the end of the season and then just take stock then.
Yeah, totally. There's no point in. I think they just search around and see what he's like. He might be really good. I don't know.
And 100%, Edinburgh will come eighth. They'll get to the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup, and Duncan Hodge will be given a 3-year contract.
Oh no!
That's definitely what's going to happen.
Yeah,
I can't see them cutting Hodge actually. I think he's going to.
Well, Well, everyone knows.
It's jobs to the boys, isn't it?
It is jobs to the boys.
He's an international and he wants to be a coach. Same with Mike Blair. Like, yeah. I mean, I think he will be a good coach and I like Mike Blair, but as soon as he was like, I would like to be a coach, he fast-tracked, you know, from McPhail scholarship, Glasgow role.
Was it people chat about RFU being a boys' club, and it's, I mean, the SRU is so small. And
the bloody Blazers.
Yeah.
How is Scott Johnson still in a job?
Oh, no,
We could go on for years about why Scott Johnson should not be in a job.
That's for the 3 hour
Yeah, exactly.
But should we move on and have a quick look at the Autumn Internationals coming up in a few weeks' time?
Yeah, how are we doing for time?
Oh, we're doing all right.
That's half an hour.
Presumably everyone who's still listening are really enjoying our sort of ramblings on this, so let's crack on and have a look.
We certainly are.
The three games that we've got: Australia, Argentina, and the big one, Georgia at Rugby Park in Kilmarnock. That's the reason. That's reason enough to get those sort of New Zealanders over to Scotland. That the sort of promise of a game at Georgia on a against Georgia in Kilmarnock. Yeah. I mean, but firstly, opening up, how do we think we'll get on in those sort of Australia and Argentina? Have obviously had a bit of a mixed bag in the Rugby Championship. How do we think we'll get on there? Do we think we will trip over against Georgia? And then we'll sort of finish up and have a look at what we think our starting 15's in, which I think there's a few sort of contentious areas outside of the sort of typical starters that we know are going to be there. So we'll sort of chew through that. But Matt, do you want to start us off? How do you think we'll do against Australia?
It's really tough, these three, because I could easily, not easily, but I could see us winning all three. But I could...
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I also see us losing all three. There's no real banker. I think if we had, you know, one of the Pacific Islanders at home, you'd back ourselves to beat them. But, you know, Georgia are a really improving team, and we should expect to beat them, but you never know.
It reminds me of that. You play at Rugby Park. It's a football pitch for starters. It's incredibly tight. Georgia are big and physical. They will draw us down to their level, and we are crap. It's like the Italy game every year. We get drawn down to their level, and we haven't got the quality to really go above it and score more points than them. We just sort of get drawn into the sort of fist fight, and that's my worry about Georgia.
You're right about the tight pitch, though, at Murrayfield. Because the thing is, the Georgian pack is as good as the Scottish pack. If you look at the top 14, clubs, literally average
all the front rows.
Yeah, they've all got one or two sort of Georgian forwards.
That's
true. Back line, obviously, I don't know enough about the Georgian backs, but
they're all playing good.
They're all playing good French level on a tight pitch, and you've got to remember it with these Georgia specifically. They've won like the Six Nations B 3 or 4 years ago. This is an audition for them to prove that they deserve to be in the Six Nations. And I think they're going to be bloody up for it.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Are they playing any other games? Georgia, I mean, surely no one else has given them a game. Surely we're the only
one. Maybe they're playing Italy or something. I don't actually know.
I haven't really looked into it, but we're playing that way. But let's focus on the first two. Australia got a bit of a hiding from New Zealand this morning off a bit of a bad decision, but everyone did. What do we think about them? Are they going to care?
Well, I suppose there is that element of us being horrifically cheated out of the World Cup semi-final.
That's true.
And maybe as a revenge element to that. We've obviously seen that today with Munster and Glasgow, that can count, that sort of emotion.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I mean, not it's sorry.
No one died.
It's completely different, but having something, you know, more emotional that you can draw upon is my comparison.
Yes.
And it was an excellent comparison.
Cool.
So do you want? I think Australia are a real sort of like crossroads, I think, in terms of where they're heading. You know, they keep bringing back players from France, they're probably a bit past it, and a few too many Van Rouges on the south coast, like Ashley Cooper and stuff.
Sure.
They're blooding a lot of young guys, and they just don't look settled. And I think that, you know, if we get sort of a pretty mucky evening, as we're wont to do up in Scotland in November, then I think we could beat them. I don't think they're that good. I think, in particularly, actually, in the pack, they're not very good, and our pack is quite strong. So I could.
It's strong,
could
and
see
it's,
fair, us winning
it's,
it.
It's fairly settled as well. Whereas I think Michael Chak has been sort of bringing lots of people in and out.
Since this Tri Nations, he's like changed his second row partnership every single game. It's mental. I don't know what he's doing.
Whereas we can just be like the Greys. It's fine. It's nice and easy for
Gray,
a Scotland coach.
Yeah,
Gray and Grey.
I don't think Van Cotter even watches Richie Gray. He's just like, yeah, that's fine.
You're quite over to lose.
That's fine.
That being said, I haven't watched Richie Gray play a club game in.
No, I haven't seen.
No.
Years.
I literally never.
I just assume he's in France, so he must be doing all right. You know, like, I don't really think about it that much.
That's what I said about Strokosh and.
Well, that's Australia then, and then week after, Argentina, Le Jaguares coming to town. What do we reckon?
So they don't have any of their players that play in Europe?
Yes. So they don't have Imhoff.
Imhoff, Bosch, and
Boella?
Is that I forgot forgetting?
Aguja. It is spelled Agulla.
Agulla.
But I don't think Aguja's been there for a while.
To be fair, if there's one team in international rugby that we step up and seem to play well against, it's Argentina.
Yeah,
and that is why we would have got to the World Cup final had we beaten.
That is true.
Had we beaten Australia, we would. I fully say we would have stepped up and beaten.
Don't deal with hypotheticals, but. That was real.
Yeah, so. And then we would have gotten beaten by 80 points in the final by New Zealand. But we would have.
I mean, who cares?
But we would have been. We would have been.
I think our packs are not going to get too bullied up front by the Argentina. The only thing about Argentina is they've come off a pretty. They haven't played badly in the Rugby Championship, to be fair.
Yeah.
Watching them against New Zealand, they're not getting bullied off the park. They can step up.
I think they're probably the team that came closest to. Matching New Zealand, like led them for a bit in one of the tests.
Yeah,
I just think when they get quick ball and they get the tempo going, like against South Africa, it's New Zealand-esque. Actually,
no one
can deal with that.
They've got a handful of players that are incredibly mercurial as well in their backs that can just break a game that Scotland we don't really have.
Yeah,
despite how much better our backline has got over the last two or three years. We're still lacking a game breaker. Stuart Hogg probably accepted from them because I think he has now got to that level. But Argentina can make something out of nothing and take 7 points off you of a turnover so easily.
Yeah.
But absolutely zero fear factor for the Scotland players.
No. What was the score last time? Like 34-10 or something?
We
humped them. So, yeah. As I say, it's, we can win all
I agree. I think Australia and Argentina are both a complete toss up.
I said, ultimately, we'll beat Australia and Argentina and then lose to Georgia.
No, if we win those first two, we'll do a clean sweep.
I mean, if we win those first two and lose to Georgia, that would be.
2 out of 3 would be quite good.
We should hang
2 out of 3 is all right, I'll take that.
Hang up the boots.
Oh, God.
I would say. But I mean, Georgia, I have to say, we don't know too much about them. We know the pack, a lot of them are playing in France.
Got a good young nine. Manful backs. Very, very physical, obviously.
It'll be interesting to see if they play the same team in all three, or whether they try and blood some players in for the Georgia game.
I don't think it's a game you can blood players in. I think you've got to pick your best team.
I mean, if there's any game you can blood players, it's got to be Georgia at home.
But are we still...
Georgia in an autumn international, which, let's be honest, doesn't matter.
But... It does though, doesn't it? Because that will feed into world ranking, which will do our seeding, which I actually think.
Yeah, that is
actually,
true.
We need to get into the top two pools.
Or we're screwed.
Let's
go
to Wales.
Four years. Yeah, it's a stupid system, but
yeah,
we need to win these games. So.
Yeah, no, that is true.
I'm going for.
Yeah, what do you think? What predictions wise? What do you think?
Going for three W's. Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough.
I mean, it's the curse, isn't it? Being optimistic about Scottish rugby, but I think we can do it.
Alan, what do you think?
One win.
Which one?
One win.
Georgia.
So we're taking. I think we're going to lose. I think we're going to lose to Australia, and I think we're going to. I think we're going to beat Argentina and Georgia.
Really?
Yeah.
Two out of three.
I think if you look to the bookies, Argentina favourites still.
Yeah, I would say so.
Sure. No, they must be. I mean, they're higher ranked than us, aren't they? So
I always question these autumn internationals and how much people give a shit, to be honest. I don't know how much Argentina. I always question, firstly, Argentina's how much they can be bothered on any given weekend.
Yeah.
I don't think having given a pretty good stab at the rugby championship and run New Zealand close and picked up that win against South Africa, I just don't think they're going to care against Scotland in Edinburgh. And that's what I think. It's a great opportunity for us to pick up a win.
Uh-huh.
I need to probably look at this, but I think Scotland are ahead of Argentina in the rankings at the moment, and obviously...
No way. Really?
Really?
Yeah, I think we are.
I'm going to now type.
Go on then, do some typing.
Which the microphone will pick up, so...
That's okay.
We'll got to think, that. Even if it's close, Argentina have got to be worried about World Cup ranking points as well.
Yeah.
You're right, we're above.
Yeah. Oh, so what are the rankings at the moment?
So New Zealand are ahead by miles. Is it ranked out of 100? Because they're pretty much 100. How does that help? Then England, Australia, South Africa, Wales, Ireland, France.
France are above us.
Scotland, Argentina.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
And then to be fair, if you look at Georgia, sitting at 12th there.
11th.
Sorry, 11th. Bloody hell. They are much higher up than I thought they were.
Italy are now 13th. Complete joke.
It's
going to be interesting. It's going to be good.
It's a really interesting one, and I mean, that is the big one. Yep. Grow up as a boy wanting to play at Rugby Park against Georgia. That is what dreams are made of. So we will look forward to that one. So let's have a look. Finally, let's have a look at what we think is going to be a sort of starting 15 for the Australia game. Something we will no doubt revisit in coming weeks. But off the back of the first 2 weeks of the European Cup, looking ahead for 3 weeks' time against Australia. Matt, give me your starting 15.
We're starting front three.
Let's do, we'll do it by...
Oh, we'll do it by positions. Okay,
by
fair play.
Units. I've gone for... I think there's a few injury questions, so I presume that all these people are fit. I think people have got niggles, but I've gone for Dickinson.
Yep.
I've gone for Nell, which I think is probably not going to cause too much controversy. And then I've gone for Fraser Brown at hooker. So I think is one a position of a bit of, you know, contention, because I think that Ross Ford probably, you know, pisses off a lot because he's got so many caps for doing literally nothing. He doesn't do anything. His arrows are okay. He's quite good in the scrum. That's about it. And his arrows are literally terrible.
Yeah.
How many times have you been watching a Scotland game and we've won a penalty and we've kicked it to the corner and Ross Ford has missed the line out?
Too many times.
Countless times. And games at international level, they fall, they are won and lost on those sort of matches.
And I think we were talking about Laidlaw and Pergrass before with a view to the next World Cup, that Ford's probably not going to be there. So, and I think Fraser Brown's been on really, really good form and deserves a shot.
For me, it's exactly the same, Dickinson, Brown and Nell. I think Fraser Brown's done enough playing for Glasgow, he's been very consistent. He got dumped on his head by Keith Earls today. That's not a great sort of stat for any hooker, but he looks pretty good up until then.
Yeah.
And to be fair, Pat McArthur came off the bench for Glasgow. I think he's a bit of an underused sort of asset for Scotland. I don't think he's going to be a starter, but he's the sort of player that we've got sort of waiting in the wings, and he could come through.
I think he's been very hard done. But he's maybe sort of a bit, like 28 now or something.
Yeah.
They might just not sort of. Rather put someone a bit younger through, like Rambo or something.
Probably.
But yeah, so Alan, what's your front row?
So I've got Nell and Dickinson at prop, and I've got McAnally at hooker.
McAnally, Rambo. Rambo. Sony, the bloody Sony bums.
George Watson's legend.
So the reason, so I really like Fraser Brown. I think he's a really, really good club player. But I think that Scott McAnally has got as good, if not better, arrows.
Scott McAnally.
Scott McAnally.
Stuart McAnally. Has got as good, if not better, arrows.
Scott Keith is in my
Is right. A larger, probably more dynamic ball carrier. And I think that Fraser Brown, just size-wise, I'm not sure if he... I know it's not a great thing to put someone on, but Fraser Brown isn't very big for an international front row.
Fair play. Does it not worry you that Rambo, sorry, Stuart McInally's not been starting for Edinburgh?
Stuart McInally is also only 2 kilograms heavier than Fraser Brown. Sorry, mate, I've landed you right in it. But
size is also a thing. Height.
I said yes, I know.
And also, I think, so as I said, I do really like Fraser Brown. I think McInally's played pretty well when he's played for Scotland.
Yep.
And
he's not played in the back row before, though.
No, he's come on.
No, he's been coming on.
When was he last?
He was on the bench loads and never got on. He was an unused sub for, I think, his first 4 or 5 times he was on the bench. Then he finally got his cap.
Yeah.
And he's had a few games. And I think you're right. I think he is pretty decent. But I think Fraser Brown is... he's more experienced at playing not only, I think, big European games and big sort of Pro 12 games.
Yeah.
And I think that probably gives him the edge, for me, over McInally.
I think he's sort of, it's the Glasgow thing as well, it's Glasgow effect. He's used to winning. Because I think McInally spent his whole career,
yeah,
including at Watson's, obviously.
Well, he did play
losing games.
He did play lineside flanker against Toulouse in the Heineken Cup quarterfinal.
Not really.
That was 2012.
That's it.
Can't go back to then.
So, I don't know. To be honest with you, I don't think there's very much in it. I would probably choose just keep that Edinburgh front row.
I think
I would put Fraser Brown on the bench because then he can cover back row as well.
That's true.
I think we're all agreed that Ross Ford needs to move on.
There needs to be another option.
100%.
I think he's done. He's been fine. Yes. He's had 100 and so caps of being okay.
He's been tall.
But I think we probably need to.
Has he got a century?
Yep.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He's got to be the worst 100 cap.
I don't know. Sean Lamont's got to be up there.
Sean Lamont's in my team.
He's not really,
is he? Come on, he's not.
He's on the bench. No, he's not.
Right, let's moving swiftly on second rows. I've got the brothers Gray.
Same.
I've got the same.
Who are you talking more about that?
Who would be the second on the bench? Gilchrist.
Probably Gilchrist. Although Swinnow looked... he looked like a completely man-possessed against Leicester last week.
Yeah.
But then today, he looked...
small.
Yeah, he looked small. He didn't look good enough today, and he certainly didn't look like an international player.
Bring back...
And I'm interested. I want to know what Gilchrist is all about.
Yeah, I would like to see him actually be given a shot and see what... because they supposedly the SRU love him.
Well, he got made captain.
Yeah, they love him.
He was the Scotland captain, and then he must be doing something in training.
There, but
so I'd like to see him on the bench as well.
What does Jim Hamilton have to do to get a call? Starting for Saracens, they're the best team in the Northern Hemisphere.
I don't know. Stop giving away penalties and getting yellow cards would be a starter. I think
he's such a great lad, though. Clearly,
that's true. Now moving into the sort of the slightly more contentious areas of the back row. Alan, who are you putting in the back row?
So, we're not going to include Cornel Dupree.
No,
because we think he might come in the third test.
Yeah, I thought it was the third test as well.
Yeah, at the moment, he's sorting out his residency.
Yeah, it's really surprising because I think he's from Whitecraigs. I don't know what the home.
Yeah, I don't know what the issues are. He's got 50 caps for Murrayfield Wanderers, so I don't know
Shall we do with Cornel Dupree and without Cornel Dupree?
Yeah, I've actually done that.
If that changes it.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Mine's just pure straight positional swap.
Crack on.
So John Hardy, 7.
Yep, same for me.
Same.
He's hard. He tackles anything that moves.
Hard horse. You're best mate as well.
He turns over ball.
Yeah. I would still have Barkley at 6.
Same.
He's a proper ball player.
And then I would Josh Strauss at 8 with Conor Dupree replacing him when he comes.
Exactly the same.
I mean, We are incredibly boring right now. I don't think
Barkley is an interesting one because Barkley has flattered for Scotland in the last year. I don't think he's had a standout game for Scotland. Since the Killer Bees. But the only other people who can replace him are Ryan Wilson, who I think is just not international standard.
I agree.
Agreed.
A bit of a liability as well.
Rob Harley.
Get away.
Who is only a line-out option.
Or standing in the middle of the ruck trying to kick the ball.
As we said earlier, Magnus Bradbury, Jim and Richie, the two young. Hamish Watson probably be a
bench.
I think
Bradbury will get there, but give him another season. He's still a hell of an athlete, but I think he's raw.
I think John Barkley offers something in terms of sort of experience and leadership in the back row. And I think I don't think he's ever gonna let you down. You're right, he's probably not had a standout game.
Yeah.
But he's not like Ryan Wilson. He's not gonna throw a rogue boot or a punch in Barbecue Kings on Byers Road. You know, like
Barkley's a family man. He's
not gonna do that stuff, and I think he can turn over ball as well at six, which I think is a really good thing to have that option.
Yeah. Is Johnny Beattie still getting game time?
He's moved to Bayonne now.
Yeah.
Is that second division France?
No, they're bottom of the top.
I get the sense he's just loving his life in the south of France, and he's not got any international.
I don't think he's going to come back, is he?
I don't think he's fit enough.
I think we've
you don't get fit in France.
I think if the answer is Johnny Beattie, what's the question? We've got to be looking forward to the next sort of.
The question is who's a bit better than Stropov?
Yeah.
The answer is Johnny Beattie.
Just a bit better, yeah. So we're pretty agreed on our pack there.
Something.
I think this is the problem with Scottish rugby, is that we can agree easily.
Yeah, I guess the thing is, it's either you've got a settled pack or it's just that's all there is.
I think
that pack's pretty good.
I think we are actually both settled, and that is all there is. We're probably in a unique international position there, which is quite good.
That's a pack that isn't going to get bullied by.
No.
Well, not any.
I don't think any of those
playing.
Three teams.
Not the packs we're playing. I think there's a bigger question to ask when we're playing against England, for instance. But, yeah. I think that's a question for February, and we will move on to that in due course. Backline, Greg Laidlaw at 9 for me.
Same.
He's solid. He'll probably win us games just by organisation and kicking goals.
We have to win these games.
And I don't think that Pergos has done enough to prove that he's going to be able to marshal a team. Alan, shaking your head.
I obviously don't agree. I think that if, as I said earlier, if we think Russell is the player that's going to take Scotland forward to Japan, then I think you need to play Pergos, because Finn Russell needs quick ball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think Finn Russell needs to be the main man.
I get that.
I agree, actually. That's a really good point.
Very good analysis. This is why people come and listen to this. They come for that.
Yeah.
And I just think if you didn't have Russell, I completely get it. But I think Russell's got a good enough boot to kick. And I think if you're going to play Russell, you play Pergos with him.
Who would kick a goal?
Russell.
With Hoggy doing the 50-meter stuff that he does. That he always misses.
Or Bennett, if Bennett plays.
A bit of intrigue looking forward to the centre partnership.
But that means that Russell is our 10, right?
I think we're all agreed on Russell.
Yeah.
I mean, there is literally nobody else.
But that's a bit of a problem, that we don't really have another 10. Duncan Weir is injured, and I don't think he is the answer. I think we need to stop actually picking him. That sounds horrible.
No.
But I think he is not the answer.
I think Blair Kinghorn might be.
He's a 10 by trade.
Yeah.
Adam Hastings in the long term.
Yeah.
Doing all right for back.
Jackson, I think, has gone to Quinns, and they've realised they've had an absolute shocker. And he's third pick. And they've signed a new 10, signed Dimitri Kachkilis and Montpellier, he'll get capped.
Do you remember the game when Jackson absolutely tore it up for Glasgow against Bath?
Yeah.
It must have been about 5 years
ago.
Away at the rec.
He was playing fullback then.
And he had an absolute stop. He's a quality player, but he's just really
flaky.
Inconsistent, and he's obviously had a few injuries over the last couple of years, and he's just not managed
to get a complete flake.
But like, he had like two great games for Wasps, and everyone was like, "Oh, Jackson's back. He's had a resurgence." And then
they signed Danny Cipriani,
and then they died, and then they pied him.
I suppose you've got Pete Horn as your backup option.
Well, that's what I would have as my backup option
I don't think
it's good enough, but I'd have Horn on the bench.
I would cover a
hell of a lot of things,
yeah.
And he has had good games for Scotland.
Yep.
The Australia game, one of them to mention.
No, definitely.
So I think while Russell is our option, there isn't an awful lot behind
him. There's questions there.
Should he get crocked in the first game against Australia? That's going to throw up issues for the rest of the game.
We'd be in quite a lot of trouble, actually.
And is Duncan Weir injured?
Weir's injured.
Yeah.
So there's our two.
Where's Heathcote?
Still at Worcester.
God.
I don't think he's good enough.
No. And where's Greg? Is Greg Tonks Irish?
Yeah, London Irish.
So is he just playing in the Championship?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we can probably rule out Greg Tonks as an option as well.
He's not Greg Tonks.
What about Jack Cuthbert?
You know where he's playing?
Where?
Jersey.
Oh,
is he in the Championship?
Yeah. Yeah, I was reading it in the rugby paper the other day. And I was like, that cannot be him. He's playing in Jersey.
Jesus.
Well, we'll come on to that worst ever players to get Scotland caps later on in another
day.
That'll be a long special edition of the pod when we get into that. Centres, I have gone for Matt Scott at 12 because he's absolutely killing it down at Gloucester.
He's scored a lot of tries.
He's got a shaved head, he looks hard, which I think is a big thing in international rugby these days. And I think Bennett is pure class at 13. I think he'll come onto a game. I know Alan is upset about that, but I think with Scott and Bennett, we've got a nice balance there. And Bennett has time and time again proved himself at international level. I think he might be a little bit out of form at the moment for Glasgow, coming off the back of the sevens at the Olympics, but he's such a good player and we've got to have him in there. Matt?
I've gone for... It's a tough one. I've gone for Dunbar, and then I've been trying to find information on whether Taylor's going to be fit, but I don't think he is.
I saw he was out to the end of the year.
Oh, is he? Okay, fine. Then Dunbar and Bennett.
Why Dunbar?
I just think he's consistently been pretty good for Scotland. He's not actually been on that great form recently, but...
It wasn't a game for him today, but no. I don't remember him doing anything against Munster today.
Coloured up front. I think that him and Bennett have got, they know each other well. Dunbar's always pretty good for Scotland. I'm still not sure whether he's 12 or 13. I think he's actually a better 13, but
they like
to get Bennett
like
in.
Playing Bennett at
13, I'd like to get Bennett in. So those are my centres. I'm pretty happy.
Alan, Ben Henschelrood and Rob Dewey.
Getting Rob Dewey back from Madras.
Is Andy Henderson still plying his trade?
Retire from GHA.
Andy Henderson and Graham Morrison.
Sad day.
Yeah. Nick DeLuca's playing for the Wasps, though.
I don't think he's had a single game yet.
No.
He's not, is he?
Yeah,
is he a squad player in
the medical joke.
They signed him from the Ritz. Across. And they had a wee BBC article saying he was going to rejuvenate his career.
Interesting. We will wait with bated breath for that, Nick.
Yeah. So who have you got, sir?
So, the way I look at it is you have probably four, maybe five centres who are very good, but none are great. So Matt Scott, Dunbar, Bennett, Duncan Taylor, possibly Pete Horn, and then there's even arguably say that Hugh Jones.
I forgot about him. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hugh Jones, of course.
He needs to
are all very Scotland. Good players, but none of them have been. They're not sort of proper great players, or not yet. Anyway.
Yeah.
I really like Pete Horn, but I wouldn't play him.
Yep.
He's a classy player.
He's a very classy player, but he's not an international player.
No,
but small.
Not a starter.
And I really like Matt Scott and Dunbar, although my only issue with playing both of them is they're kind of similar.
Quite similar, yeah.
They're both kind of runners, aren't they?
They're both runners, but actually they also both don't... None of them has standout pace.
And Bennett does.
And whilst I don't particularly think Bennett is that good a rugby player, I think that you need his pace in the backs.
Yeah.
So, I would... On current form, I would have Matt Scott and Mark Bennett. But I think Dunbar still has enough credit in the bank to be starting.
Yeah, I think that's...
So I think I think Dunbar and Mark Bennett will start and should start.
I think Duncan Taylor's probably built up a hell of a lot of credit off the back of last year's Six Nations. He played some great rugby.
Yeah, he does.
Plus, Premiership champ, European champ last year with
Super
Saracens.
Yeah.
Like he's playing at the top level.
He was player of the year last year.
And let's not forget that tap and go he scored in the Six Nations last year.
I might have picked Duncan Taylor ahead of Mark Bennett, but because Duncan Taylor...
I would have picked Taylor, definitely.
Because Duncan Taylor's not an option.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be back for the Six Nations and we can have a look, but...
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Duncan Taylor does start for Saracens when he's back.
When he comes back, yeah.
Because
I think he will.
Barrett and Marcelo.
He might play on the wing.
Is he quick enough to play on the wing?
I think that Saracens would put him on the wing to do a job.
I think they pick him out of Maitland.
Yeah.
He offers
one of their like top five picks.
He offers more than Maitland, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Back three.
Penny on them all being fit, Maitland, Seymour and Hogg.
Yeah, exactly.
Can't see much past that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seymour and Hogg are probably two of the first three names on the team sheet. Yeah,
absolutely.
Hit those two and Johnny Gray.
And yeah.
WP Nell.
Gray Russell.
And I think we've chatted about this quite a lot. I think if you're just looking at attack, you pick Visser ahead of Maitland.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Visser has just made too many mistakes in too many games.
Doesn't like tackling.
He doesn't like a high ball either. He's absolutely rubbish under a high ball.
Doing under a kick.
And whilst I do like Visser, I just don't think you can pick him.
Bring
him off the bench. Like,
great player off the bench.
100%. If you have Visser, Horn, and maybe like Sam Hidalgo Klein. Or Pergott. It's quite good backs to be able to bring off the bench.
Things off the bench, yeah.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is a problem that Scotland face, is the full squad game. I think we can hold on to most people for 50, 60
particularly
minutes.
Particularly in the pack. When we bring on our second, our sub forwards, they get killed.
We don't
have any big impact players.
Yeah, which I think is a big problem. I think our starting 15 is as best as I can remember in my sort of my lifetime. I really think it is, like quality-wise.
Really
the problem is that it's not very deep at all. Even our bench isn't very strong.
Mm. Yeah.
And also, as much as we've got better, everyone else is getting better as well.
I think that's the main thing.
Which is like, it's all fine and well to say this is the best Scotland team, but England are looking really, really formidable. Ireland, over the last 10 years, have gone through leaps and bounds. Wales, the same.
We never beat Wales. So.
Never beat Wales.
Yeah.
They are the worst.
Another pod, another time.
Exactly. It's tough. Yeah. Tough.
Absolutely. Well, that has been the first edition of the Thistle Rugby Podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it. If you did, let us know. Get onto iTunes and give us a bit of a review. Let us know what we did well. Let us know what we did terribly. We are also in the process of setting up Twitter and Facebook and things like that, and we'll update you on that on another day. But for now, from David, Alan and Matt, goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'll say quickly just a little shout out to the nicest man in Scottish rugby.
That's true.
Our best mate, Tom Brown, a.k.a. T-Biz. Getting a little try today as well. So well done.
Well done, Tom.
Well done, mate.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.